today. Good morning.
Morning there, brother.
For those out there, I'm Paul Baalbeck III. I'm your Bible study teacher today. We're at Faith Bible Church. It's 6/5/2022. We're going to be in, I'm teaching through the book of Ephesians, verse by verse. We're in Ephesians 2, and we're going to be in verse 20 and 21 today. And the title of the message is One Foundation, Three Layers. As if you who were here, you know, last couple of weeks, you know what I'm talking about. But you'll see when we go to these verses. So when you see the toothpick come out, turn your minds on, open up your hearts, open up the Word of God, let's rightly divide it. Why? So we, that sounded enthusiastic, so we could apply it. So we can apply it. Are you ready to study? Okay, so let's open up in prayer. And if maybe for somebody watching out there, we're dressed down a little bit today, aren't we? We're having our church picnic. So, and I'm ready to, me and Oscar's going to have everybody roll with UFC techniques. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for laughter. It's, to me, it's like cleansing to our soul. And it reminds us that there's joy. There's not just only hardships in life. And there's so many things to be thankful to you for. One thing, we have your word. We can study it. We can know your mind, your heart, your will. And we thank you for that so much. Thank you for another day of grace and the opportunity to redeem the time, to reach out to the lost, and as what we're doing here, to edify the saved. And I pray your Holy Spirit this morning in adult Sunday school class and then with the pastor as he teaches and preaches the word at church service, that it will be empowered inwardly, mightily by your Holy Spirit, that you do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think. And your Spirit would give illumination that everyone listening could be able to grasp these wonderful truths, these foundations that you've laid on of your grace. And so we just pray, and I also want to lift up Ray's daughter to you with their leg, Father. And some might not know she was in an accident, and her leg got really damaged from a motorcycle accident, and she was with her man. And anyway, we lift that situation up to you, and we pray that the picnic today will be just a time of sweet fellowship, laughter, love, and good spiritual conversations. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I'm going to kind of just refresh your memory. I'm really going to try and stick to the verses and get them in today. And time passed. We're going to look at a couple, one, two, three different areas for this. And time passed. Remember, how do you rightly divide the word? Time passed, but now, in the dispensation of grace we live in, things to come after the rapture, right? So in time passed, and how do you know when you're in time past? When there's a difference, there's of Jew and Gentile, circumcision is still in effect, and the law is in effect, right? So Christ was the cornerstone and foundation for Israel's prophetic earthly kingdom. And in the future, after the rapture, and the 7 years of Jacob's trouble at Christ's second advent, he will be the cornerstone and foundation of God's kingdom program with Israel. So Christ is that cornerstone for Israel's kingdom gospel. There was a kingdom gospel that Christ preached, right? John the Baptist preached, then Christ came on the scene. Then the 12 kingdom apostles were preaching, right? At Pentecost, that was a repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, right? And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Christ is the cornerstone for Israel's kingdom gospel. What did he die, bury, and rose? And how are they proclaiming him? Rising for what? To sit on the throne of David, right? We proclaim him what? as risen, glorified, sitting at the right hand of the Father, right, high above all principalities, powers, might, as head of the body. They're looking for a kingdom to come. We're looking to go, right? We're not waiting for Christ to come to earth to split Mount Zion. We're waiting for him to come in the clouds, and ain't you looking forward to that? Praise God. That's a blessing hope. So that gospel proclaimed Christ raised from the dead to sit on David's throne. So that's their foundation. So let's just look at some verses. Isaiah 28:16, and then we're going to be in Acts. So Isaiah, a bit after Psalms. 28:16. I'll give you a sec. Isaiah 28:16. So we're not going to stay on this, but I just want to give you an idea here what I was talking about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion. Where's Zion?
Israel,
right? Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Go to Acts chapter 4, verse 10, 11. Like I said, I'm not going to get all into it, but I just want you to see their cornerstone, how they preach Christ. Acts 4, verse 10 and 11. Let it be known unto you. Now, this is Peter, right? Preaching the kingdom gospel, proclaiming Christ as Israel's Messiah and King. Be it known unto you all, and to the people of who? Israel. That by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. See, we have that in common, right? They're preaching Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, right? Paul preached Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. But it's in two different ways. Christ is raised there to sit on David's throne. Christ is raised here to be head of the body of Christ. And so, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. That's why God was doing the miracles there. Signs and wonders to prove Jesus was their Messiah and their King. This is the stone, see that cornerstone, which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. See, the leaders in Israel were supposed to be the builders, but they failed miserably, right? They rejected and asked. Actually, they planned to have him killed, right? And so, God took that kingdom out of their hands, and what did he say? I'll give it to a little nation, a foolish nation. That's a little flock of believers. Okay, so anyway, you get to see how Christ is their cornerstone. Go to Acts 3, 18 through 21. Remember, our program was unsearchable in time past, right? Hid since the beginning of the world when God created heaven and earth, right? Paul calls it the mystery, correct? Okay. Amen. Making sure people ain't just got their eyes open, but they're sleeping. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets. So this was unknown, right? Right. I mean, when you got a lot of prophets talking about it, it's known, right? That Christ should suffer. He has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When? When the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When Christ comes back in his second advent. And he would have came back then if Israel as a nation, because they had to be them first, right? And with their rise, the Gentiles would get blessed. But what happened? They rejected him. So God didn't bring in that. So how's it going to go to the Gentiles? God, that's secret, right? It's through Israel's fall, Paul tells us, right? Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. that the Gentiles get blessed. It's apart from Israel. And he says, and he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you. So again, if they would have trusted in Christ, he was, that's that kingdom gospel, right? God would have sent him back then, and the time of refreshing is the kingdom. And he was sat on David's throne and ruled the world through Israel. And that will happen after the rapture, seven-year trib. Christ brings in the thousand-year reign of Christ. Now, so you see that pretty clear with that from the verses?
Okay. In other words, it's all in God's plan, though.
You know? Amen. And that's his plan and purpose for Christ and Israel's prophetic program. So now we're going to look, because how do you rightly divide? Time passed, but now God has a purpose for Christ, and he's our cornerstone also. Let's go to Ephesians 20, 21, because that's where we're... Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. You got some revelation knowledge there, brother? Ephesians 20?
Bruce again.
If it's new, it ain't true, right? Okay, so Ephesians 2, 20, 21. Chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Even back up, 20 and 21 is our verses for today, but just for context and refresh your memory. Go to 19. Now, therefore, he's talking about the Gentiles and the members of the body of Christ. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, outsiders, but fellow citizens with the saints. We are fellow citizens in the kingdom of light now, right? And the household of God. We're family members. Amen. Praise God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So he's our cornerstone. And what did we learn last week? When that office would go out of apostles and prophets, right? When the word of God was completed, and then they died out. And so we'll look at that a little bit. But we already went over that, so I'm not going to, for time, just refresh your memory from it. Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple of the Lord. Talking about the body of Christ, right? Okay, so in the but now time, the dispensation of grace, Christ is our foundation and our cornerstone also. Remember, the cornerstone is what everything's built on. Everything gets measured even by that. It fits together. And so let's look at the three layers built upon our foundation. Some might say three pillars. And by the way, the reason I was going to go on to the next verse, so give Boyd credit, because he mentioned, now you're going to mention... how did you put it, Boyd? The three...
Pauline foundations, that's the way I...
Yeah, three Pauline foundations. So what I told him, I'm gonna do that, because he made me think maybe I'll make it a little bit more deep to study. And this should be the last week on it. And then we'll go to the next verse.
Blame me.
Yeah. But I said the three layers of that foundation. And remember... the last layer is what you see, right? You don't see them two other ones, right? If, like, say you got a layer in a building, there's that foundation, then something's built upon that, and then another one. So so what you see today when you look at that foundation would be the last layer, but it's built upon solid. So anyway, go to... Colossians 1:18.
Yeah,
Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Remember, Christ is our cornerstone, we just read, right? And we'll see Paul say, nothing else can't be built upon unless it's upon that. We'll see that in a minute. And how is Christ to be preached today? And he is head of the body, the church, right? We preach Christ, Romans 16, 25, that he would establish you, that means build you up, members of the body of Christ, by my gospel, Paul's gospel. And what does that consist of? You have the gospel that saves in there, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's what establishes us. And so remember that, what I just said. So right at the end, you'll see how it'll all click in. It should. I went to when I took my GD class, because I had to quit school in eighth grade, I had like 10 dudes waiting with baseball bats for me because of the neighborhood I lived in. Anyway, I said, it's time to quit school. But I took my GD, and I used to have a Filipino teacher who would explain math stuff. I don't know how many of you are, not many people are good at math, Mary hates it. But then she'd say, plug it in. And kind of like, wow, I got it. How did she do that? By the way, keep Mary in prayer. She's not here because she got a bad headache. But if it gets better, she'll come to the picnic and bring Rock, our American bully, so he's out, could all meet her. I told her, leave Leela. She's a schizophrenic. She's all right, but sometimes she's barky, you know. So I said, leave her home. Anyway, so we see in Colossians 1:18, and he is head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. He comes before everything. And you see, it's a firstborn of the dead, right? We were spiritually made alive, right? And one day we're going to be getting bodies at the rapture, right? We know that because Christ rose and ascended. When he comes back for us, we're going to meet him in the air, right? And we're going to have bodies like his. Praise God. So how is he preached? As being raised in our program, as being raised from the dead as head of the body. You know, real quick, go back to John 19. I just wanted to show you something. I wasn't planning on this, but what they had to believe in time past. I believe it's John 19. Or verse 20. Boy, do you got it in your Bible where he says, these things were written at... Is that in 20?
21.
Yeah, I got this new body. Okay, 21. How am I in Acts? No wonder I'm having a problem. Still, this Bible is new. Mary got me a... Huh? Yeah. What? Now, John, he's a Jew writing to Jews. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. See, they had to believe he was the Christ, right? The Son of God, that believing you might have life through his name. So what they have to believe to be saved? And they had to do some other things too. Sell all they had, give alms to the poor. They had to get water baptized, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. You received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They had to believe Jesus was their Messiah, right? To be saved. Can anyone get saved today by believing Jesus is Israel's Messiah? That won't save anyone today. See why you got to rightly divide the word? Or you give a false gospel, right? Or if you understand the gospel, you're going to give a false message on where to get our instructions. Are we supposed to be casting out demons and raising the dead? You know, anointing with oil and You know, all that instructions out of Paul's epistles? No. You're saved today by what? Believing Christ died for your sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose from the dead according to, in 3 days, according to the scriptures.
I know you said maybe you shouldn't ask a question, but this question right here, even Israel can't be saved by believing that Jesus is their Messiah. They have to believe like we believe.
Exactly. Today. Because Israel's been set aside. They're like all the other nations that God let go at the tower, at Tower of Babel. Now, like the people over there now, they're not God's people. Most of them are secular. You know, you have a few Orthodox. But, and you might have some saved. Because they've trusted in Christ and believe the gospel that saves today. But do you see how important it is to rightly divide the word? Or you share a wrong gospel and people think they're saved. You got Messianic Jews today, they call themselves. So they got their idea and they don't want to let the things of Israel go. I mean, it's fine, your heritage, you got a Latin heritage, I got Irish heritage. Not so great because a bunch of drunks are like that fun, you know. But, no, they got some, my family is, Bill. They got some big Irish people. But anyway, so we see, Christ, we're established by what? Understanding he's our head. And Paul said, I give you the commands of Christ, right? So today we find them, we know where to go for our instructions, Paul's epistles. So go to Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. And the idea here, this isn't a conditional if, it's the idea of sense. Because Paul's already told us we're risen with Christ, right? So this is not a conditional. It's actually because you are then. You know, if then. If then you be risen with Christ, well, we are, right? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. See, as what? Head of the body of Christ, right? Set your affections on things above. God's got a heavenly program for us, not on things on the earth. Amen. Don't set your mind on following. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 5:16? That though we knew Christ according to the flesh, we don't know him thus no longer. We're not following him in his early ministry. We're following him in his heavenly ministry. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with God in Christ. Ain't you glad? When God looks at you, he sees you in Christ, as righteous as Christ. Ooh. If only we can see ourselves the way God sees us, and see each other the way God sees us. Yeah? When Christ, who is our life, Christ is our life, like we can do all things through Christ, right? Amen. He is our life. See, every Christian knows Christ as their Savior. They ain't saved. Amen. They believe the gospel. But not every believer knows him as their life. What did Paul say? I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. When we start finding that out, depend on him and seeking to know him intimately and the power of that resurrection, that's when actually our lives really, I think, start growing and Christ can use us because we're walking under grace. We're not walking under law, right? And it helps us to live in that power. You know, people say grace to you. You're giving people license to sin, teaching that greasy grace stuff, right? No, grace is convicting because I don't have to ever sin. And you don't have to. Do we? Daily, because the sin nature, but we don't have to. And the more we start appropriating those things by faith, that's not we become sinless. We start sinning less.
Amen.
You get in the habit. You get the wrong thoughts. Satan works through the flesh, right? No, that's not me. That was me and Adam. That was me. You know, you got to have your mind renewed, right? And by truth of God's word, rightly divided. And then you start appropriating and developing holy habits. And then you don't even got to think about it. A lot of times you're just, that ain't me. This is me. Let me go share the gospel over here with that lost person, or let me get together with my spiritual family and let's edify each other, let's build each other up. And he says that you shall appear with him in glory. So Christ, our cornerstone, we want to, we know him as head of the body, right? And we want to be focused on heavenly things. Now this, I believe, sometime, I watch when I say that, there's layers to, because some people use that as saying that to try and like teach false things. But here I think Paul actually is talking about Israel's program and the heavenly program, right? But you can get something out of this here. Don't focus on things on the earth, what's going on, what Satan's doing. Focus on what God's doing, heavenly things. So I can get that, draw that out as a secondary application, say. There's one interpretation, but many, many applications sometimes. So so we're going to look at now in the dispensation of grace, Christ is our foundation and cornerstone also. So let's look at the three layers built upon our foundation. Some people might say pillars, or Boyd had said it another way. Pauline foundations, you say? Maybe you'll say it another way. That's good. Because maybe the way you say it, it will click with somebody. The first foundation, 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11. Now this is the Apostle Paul writing, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. Stop there. God gave Paul something, right? God in Christ chose Paul to be the apostle of the Gentiles and the dispenser of his instructions on the grace, right? The dispenser of that whole body of truth Paul calls a mystery. So Paul, he's a wise master builder. What's he building on? I have laid the foundation. Here's your first foundation. Everything's built upon this. And another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ, according to the revelation and the mystery, is that foundation that everything's built upon. And then Paul gives us some building materials, the blueprints, if you want. He's the master architect, if you want. We read 10 and 11, right? Yeah. Go to Ephesians 3, 1 to 4. For this cause, this reason, then, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard about the dispensation of grace, of the grace of God, which was given what? The dispensation of grace. And it's the grace of God. God in Christ gave it to Paul, right? It's given to me. For who? You. The members of the body of Christ. That's who he's writing to. And over all their Gentiles. You got a few Jews, you know, and I shouldn't say few. You know, I don't know how many there are. But they got to come as a... just like us sinners, not as God's special people, like they got some rank up here, you know, that was time past. And that will be things to come, right? And he says, how that by revelation. So Christ by revelation gave some to Paul. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, that sacred secret, mysterion, it means secret. It was hid in the heart of God in time past, right? Yeah. What Peter preached was known since Samuel and all the other prophets, since the world began. This is before the world began. You know, like the gospel of the circumcision that was given to Peter, Galatians 2, and Paul says the gospel of the uncircumcision given to him. That's two different gospels, people. If it's un, you know, that's different than, I don't know what to say. If it's the circumcision, one, to Peter, and the uncircumcision, that's two different gospels. Sorry, our covenant theologians, you're wrong. They said there's only one gospel from the Old Testament to. And then, sorry, our Acts 2 dispensational friends that want to start the body of Christ. Pastor O'Hara used to say, the biggest blunder of the church, and I agree with him, the more I hear stuff out there, is believing and teaching that the body of Christ began in Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. That ain't the body of Christ. That wasn't nothing new. God's doing, like a DC talk, you say, God's doing a new thing. That's today. That was never known, right? And so he says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery, that secret of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. See, so Peter wasn't preaching it. That was known, right, by Samuel and all the prophets at Pentecost. As it is now revealed unto, well, I was going to save that one, but we'll just keep reading. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets, you notice them? By the Spirit. What's the difference? Paul receives it directly from Christ, right? And then he's teaching it. But he didn't get it all at once. And it's a new dispensation with new promises, new instructions. So how is the body of Christ getting some of this information? The Spirit's revealing it to the and early on in the body of Christ, you had apostles and prophets, and we went over that. But we'll see something in a minute. What happened after the apostles went off the scene? And Paul had got that whole body of truth called the revelation of the mystery. I need another cup of coffee. So we see the foundation is Christ, right? Paul laid it. There's no other foundation, he said, which can be laid. And he gave the blueprint to build up the body of Christ. Okay? Then you have two. What's the second foundation? Early on, the apostles and prophets, right? They were building up the body of Christ. And then you have, and thank Boyd for this, because that's why I'm bringing out this point today. Appreciate it, Boyd. You're all right for a tall guy, man. So what happened after the apostles and prophets in the body of Christ died off, and also after our apostle Paul received that whole body of truth for the body of Christ that he calls the revelation of the mystery. And also, the Bible was completed. Didn't Paul say in Colossians 1:25-27, it was given to me to perfect. In the Greek, that word means complete the Word of God. Now you had the Word of God completed, right, with Paul's epistles. And so we have a what? Completed Word of God that we can go to now. I'll explain it, but I just sort of added that. Actually, you know, Paul talked about, we'll see in a sec, that the church today is the ground and pillar of the truth. And I looked up in Vine's Expository Dictionary of Greek and Hebrew Words, what pillar means. It means a column supporting the weight of a building.
Right.
All right, so get that. I'll read it again. A column supporting the weight of a building. Remember, there's a foundation, right? Christ is the foundation. Then you had the Apostle Paul's laying the blueprints and what he gave us. He's preaching Christ according to revelation and mystery. That's the foundation, right? That's built upon. And so a column, it's supporting the weight of a building. Paul talks about us and the body of Christ as a building, right?
Right.
A temple of the Holy Spirit building. So a column supporting the weight of a building. So local churches, as to its responsibility in a collective capacity to maintain the doctrines of the faith by teaching, preaching, and practice. So let's go to... So you got the third layer is the body of Christ and the local church and that proclaims the revelation and the mystery. 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. That's a verse I was just telling you about. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how it ought to behave in the house of God. He's talking about the local assembly. I don't think he's talking about the body of Christ right there. Because he's giving them different instructions. Look at context. Bishops, you know, things in the church. You appoint bishops and, you know, pastors, you got teachers, and he's giving qualifications, right? What's a pastor do? He pastors the church, right? What do elders do? They oversee a church, right? Both pastor, elders, and Bible teachers are supposed to actually protect members of the body of Christ, build them up in sound grace doctrine through preaching, and actually we should be setting an example too. I mean, none of us ain't perfect, but you know, as people see us growing and applying the grace of God, right? And so, so that's context. So he says, I said 15, right? But if I tarry long, so Paul's writing to a young pastor, that thou mayest know how oughtest to behave in thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. And now, who is the church of the living God? The body of Christ, right? But where do? We assemble together in a building, right? The pillar and ground of the truth. So here's that third layer, the church. We're the pillar. Remember what I said? A pillar means a column supporting the weight of the building. So the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's supposed to be. Truth is supposed to be preached from this pulpit and this adult Bible study class. What's going on a lot today? Malcolm music, entertainment, seeker sensitive. You know, I forgot Charles Spurgeon said one day you'd have clowns entertaining the masses, and you get that. And some things they do to draw in people, you know, and they water down the gospel. No, we're supposed to be that foundation, right? And so, go to 2 Timothy 1, 11 to 14. Wherefore, I am appointed, this is the Apostle Paul, wherefore, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Wherefore, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher to Gentiles. For the cause which I also suffer things nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him that day. He's talking about that mystery, that Christ was able to keep it. God is able, right? Hold fast the form of sound words. That means healthy, spiritually healthy. What's he talking about? That whole body of truth called the mystery he writes to us about. Hold fast. This is what the church should be doing. Pastors are supposed to be doing. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard in me, in faith and in love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. The Holy Spirit will give the pastors power to stand for the truth. I thank God for some of the recoverers of grace truth. You know, I got lost during the Dark Ages, and you got Martin Luther first. He recovered justification by faith, right? Alone in Christ alone, right? By grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone, and solo scriptura, scripture alone is our authority. Then other men like Darby and some other ones that recovered the truth about the rapture, that had been lost. And then your Schofields and Larkins and things about the difference of Israel and the body of Christ. And then for men like C.R. Stamm and Baker and Pastor O'Hare and others that saw from the scriptures Paul's unique ministry, right, as apostle to the body of Christ, and that he had a whole different message outside of Israel's program. Thank God for those men. I thank God for, like Jim Kirkwood just died, my old pastor. I learned so much from him. Boyd used to go there. And I don't know, didn't you say, Al, that you used to listen to him on the radio?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other men that I was under. And you know, you get attacked. Pastors get attacked. You keep Pastor Ricky in prayer. Keep me in prayer too. Because when you stand for this truth, it exposes the errors that denominational traditions of men. And they don't like it. Think the Pharisees liked it when Christ exposed them? And where he said, your traditions nullify the word of God. You whitewashed tombs, dead bones inside. You know, they didn't like that too much. And the people ain't going to like it with you either. But that's all right. Because, you know, when you stand with, you say, why? I feel like such a small minority. When you stand with God, you're in the majority.
Amen. Amen.
You know, let the church go downstream. You go upstream.
Amen. Amen.
Stick with God. Hold on, because I got a couple more minutes, okay? If you write down the question, we'll deal with it at the end. How far did I say?
14.
Yeah, so the church is supposed to go to chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Yeah. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's what me and Pastor are doing with Oscar. Because we're getting older, believe it or not. And I know I don't dye my hair. Look at the grays here. But you young people got to step it up. We're going to pass off the scene. We're going to go to be with the Lord. And you're going to have probably a tougher time if the rapture don't happen. But step up. Take the torch. Don't just come to church and the Bears game. Yes, what movie am I going to watch after church? You know, step up. Step up to the plate. And women, this can be for you too. If you understand the mystery, teach younger women. Teach your children. Teach your nieces and your nephews. Don't teach your dog because they don't have a spirit. They got a soul, mind, emotion, will. Just play. But that's what the church is supposed to do. We're that third layer on top of the foundation. 2 Timothy 4, 1-5, and I have to close, and I should be right on time. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1-5. I charge thee, therefore, before God. Boy, that's a pretty high charge, isn't it? That, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who he's reminding him of something, and we should be reminded of this, who shall judge the quick, so the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Again, hear it, people? Not only Timothy, we should be doing this too. Speaking the truth in love. Preach the word, but especially pastors and Bible teachers. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out. You know when? And out of season. When the pastor calls me sometime the same morning where I filled in for him, I said, yeah. He said, how could you do that? Because I usually, sometimes I slack once in a while, but I notice when I'm not staying in the word on a pretty much daily basis, you know, I don't think the same. Because it renews our mind and it transforms us, right? But so I go, hey, I'm ready like Friday, Pastor, because I'm staying in the Word. You can just do that. And then depend on the Holy Spirit, because like after I get off phone, what am I going to preach on? And but God's Spirit's always faithful. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Teaching, patience, not being mean with people when you're sharing. Be patient with them. And then pray for them that them seeds, the Holy Spirit, will produce fruit. Because listen, especially young people, you know, sometimes people come to church like somebody tells me, well, you know, sometimes I've asked people why they sit out in the hallway. Well, I'd fall asleep in church. I said, not if you're interested in it. Right? I said, you fall asleep in a movie you're interested in? Yeah. Right? But listen, what's going to happen, young people especially, for the time will come, and it's coming, it's rolling right in. For the time will come when they, this is in the church, where they will not endure sound doctrine, healthy spiritual doctrine, but after their own lust, those word and faith teachers tickle their ears, shall heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. And listen to this, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned aside on the fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So, did you get the three pillars? Hopefully I was clear because we're going to move on. But thank you, Boyd, for reminding me of that because it might help you sometime when you're looking at, well, what about these prophets and apostles? So when they went out the scene, we had the completed Word of God, right? And then the church, that's the ground and pillar of the truth that's supposed to proclaim it. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that helps us to understand, illuminates our mind as we depend on you to teach us and help us to take these things, Father. I pray for these young people in this church and maybe that will be listening to the video, that they'll take up the torch and get serious, not just come to church to have a social club, but get serious about it and redeem the time and invest their lives in the things of Jesus Christ and heavenly things. And I pray for that for us, Father, even us older ones, that we continue to redeem the time because even our time is shorter. We got less years to be here. And I just pray if there's one that's never trusted in your Son, Father, and maybe they've never heard the clear gospel that Christ, that they got to recognize first, they got to see they're a sinner. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Those in the flesh cannot please God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And it's that they would see their condition and trust that Christ died for their sins, that you demonstrated your own unique love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. But it didn't stop there. That's half the gospel, Father. He was buried and he rose from the dead the third day, according to the scriptures, that they would be saved by grace, not making promises or anything. Just saved by grace, unmerited favor, just through simple faith, making a choice, enacted their will to believe in Christ as their Savior, believe the gospel. It's a gift from you, Father. Thank you for that free gift of salvation that's been purchased by Christ. Not a works lest anyone should boast. I pray if they've never done that, Lord, that they would make that choice right now and not leave this world sometime without him, because it's too late then. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So thanks for getting up early and coming on out. And thanks for staying up, Bill.